Hello again. Every other Thursday, they assemble in our parish library. A woman from Colombia, another woman from Palestine, and still another from Russia. They are joined by a man retired from the Department of Justice, an elderly couple, and several other parishioners. They are members of our Icon Guild, who assemble to engage in writing icons, that is, iconography, that is often referred to as the first language of the church. The members of our Icon Guild write rather than paint, for their discipline process is distinctly different than painting. Iconography comes from two Greek words, icon meaning image and graphe meaning writing. Together we get image writing. So the word iconography conveys the idea that an image can tell a story. Each time iconographers put brush to paper, they are writing an imaginative story and inviting the looker to engage their imaginations as well. Attached to this homily are links that provide a brief history and an understanding to the spiritual significance of icons. Today, friends, we celebrate the feast of St. Methodius of Constantinople, whose courage and witness in many ways preserved the tradition of iconography. This medieval state is one of the patron saints of icons. Methodius had been born in Syracuse, Sicily, in 788 AD, became a monk on the Greek island of Chios, from where Patriarch Nicephorus called him to Constantinople as his assistant. In typical Byzantine style, however, Patriarch Nicephorus was soon deposed by Emperor Leo V, the Armenian, and exiled to a distant monastery from where he carried on a literary polemic against iconoclasm. Methodius went to Rome with a letter informing the Pope of the situation and stayed there until AD 20. He returned with a letter requesting that Nicephorus be reinstated, but instead Methodius was thrown into prison for about 9 years. Under the Emperor Michael II, Methodius was beaten up for his activities and kept in confinement. Imagine the heroic nature of this man and his willing to sacrifice so much of his life for the cause of iconographic spirituality. Methodius was released in 829 and held a position at court until 843, when the Empress Theodora, widow of the Emperor Theophilus and regent for her son Michael III, reversed imperial policy and appointed Methodius patriarch in place of the iconoclast patriarch John Grammaticus. Yes, it was a Byzantine world. Now, it is important to know that the movement of iconoclasm, or the breaking of images, was influenced by three factors: Islamic and Jewish prohibitions on making images of God, the Gnostic belief that matter was evil, and the monophysitism, only one nature, denial of the real humanity of Jesus. The opposite of an iconoclast is an iconodule, that is, servant or slave of images, or more positively, iconophile, lover of images. During the 8th and 9th centuries, many of the emperors at Constantinople espoused iconoclasm, mostly because of the general opposition to the use of images and relics, and also because the use of images was an obstacle to the conversion of Jews and Muslims to Christianity. Hence, you understand what got Methodius in trouble. Additional dimensions of iconoclasm, apart from persecuting and imprisoning iconophiles, are the disrespecting of relics and the refusal to ask for the intercession of saints. The practice of iconography is most common among the Eastern Christian Church to today. Recently, iconography has become increasingly popular. Some of this interest may be attributed to the book written by the 20th century spiritual writer Henry Nouwen about icons, titled Praying with Icons. For me, this book enhanced an appreciation for icons as a way of learning to pray through gazing meditatively at an icon. In this best-selling book, Nouwen invites readers to pray with four Russian icons: the icon of the Virgin of Vladimir, the icon of the Savior of Sendergord, the icon of the descent of the Holy Spirit liberating the world, and the icon of the Holy Trinity. One wonders, with the tragedy of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and how what are iconographers doing, praying together for the end of such a tragedy through the gazing and the praying of icons. The latter, the icon of the Holy Trinity, of course, is the most famous. It is the one done by the 14th and 15th century Russian iconographer Andrei Rublev, and the one which our icon guild wrote for our parish's 225th anniversary. The next time you are at Holy Trinity, I invite you to gaze at this icon of the Holy Trinity. It is placed on an easel inside the doors of our parish center. Certainly, on this feast of St. Methodius, we can recognize how his heroic witness for the cause of iconographic spirituality serves as an example and an invitation to us of the importance of icons. For Methodius knew that by gazing at an icon, he was given a window into the face of God. May we too explore this great spirituality. Amen.